From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now. Coming up, a conversation with former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers. We will talk about the recent ups and downs in the stock market, the debt ceiling, and income inequality.
But first, today, more than 100 men between the ages of 16 and 54 were allowed to leave the embattled remaining rebel-held neighborhoods in Homs, Syria's third largest city, as a ceasefire has been extended for three more days in the hopes of evacuating more people. The UN brokered ceasefire was reached last week. Since then, more than 1,100 people have left. Meanwhile, in Geneva, another round of peace talks is underway. Patrick McDonald is a reporter for the LA Times and joins us from Damascus. And Patrick, this is the second release of young men. You were in Homs over the weekend when something like 130 fighting age men were among the evacuees. How did people there respond to that?
I thought it was very interesting. First of all, no one expected it, so when they came off the buses, people were very surprised, and I was there with with people from the Syrian military. I'm here, obviously, on a government visa, and they were not just surprised, but several of them were extremely upset to see fighting-age men, many of whom were holding children. Afterwards, there were statements made that all of those men would have to go through some kind of judicial process to see if indeed they had any charges against them.
We're reading that in the group today as well, they will be interviewed to see if they have ties to rebels, but even if they had taken up arms, they might be reintegrated into society. This has been such a vicious divide. Is that possible?
You know, I think that's a fundamental question here in Syria, and indeed there are instances of people who've taken up arms and gone through this process, which they call a reconciliation process, in which they essentially put down their arms and agreed to pledge loyalty to the government, but it's viewed very dimly by the opposition, whom essentially view it as capitulation.
Well, you mentioned the men being released who held children in their arms. Hundreds of children and women were also released under this ceasefire, evacuated under this ceasefire. And these are areas that have been under government blockades up to a year, over a year in some cases. How did the people look?
Well, I would say the people certainly look haggard. Some were thin, but they didn't necessarily seem to have the look of emaciation that one associates with hunger. Clearly, there was not a lot of food in there from talking to people. I mean, it's a very tight area. Maybe it's 2 square kilometers inside the old city of Homs, and it's frankly mostly rubble now, and there's many, many snipers. So people were very scared about going out for food. But there was some food smuggled in, apparently. One gentleman told me that he was afraid anytime he stuck his head out of the window, it could get blown into 12 pieces. Hmm. So it was a very, very, really hellish way to live, for some people up to 2 years.
Yeah. And even during this so-called ceasefire, during this evacuation, there have been violations, aid convoys shot at. But we talked about the viciousness of this conflict. You write that it's very, very harsh image about to come, but that opposition rebels clutching the severed heads of Alawite men as gruesome war trophies have become a staple of opposition images on the internet. We've also seen photographs of people in the opposition neighborhoods carrying dead children out of rubble after government bombing. This has just been a vicious conflict. What is the sense, where you are in Damascus, of the ongoing talks?
You know, the talks don't seem to be resonating here on the streets in Damascus. One thing I might say about Damascus is that it's a bit of a bubble. It's heavily protected. There's many checkpoints. So life goes on with a kind of bizarre degree of normalcy, whereas right outside the city where I just was, there's just block after block of blown-up buildings. The talks get a lot of press here, but I don't see a lot of confidence about the talks resolving this situation. But I do also think that people feel that it's better people are talking than not talking, and I think that the first round of Geneva may have helped, certainly put pressure on the Syrian government to allow some of these humanitarian evacuations. Now, the government makes the point that not everybody blockaded is being blockaded by government forces. There's quite a few people who are under rebel blockades in various places. So they would like to see some of those blockades lifted as well.
Yeah, but again, you know, bringing hundreds, over 1,000 people out from this opposition neighborhood that was blockaded, it gives the impression that, you know, the government definitely has the upper hand. Just in your sense, who's winning?
I think essentially it's still fair to call this a stalemate, even though the government has been on the offensive and the rebels have been fighting among themselves. I haven't met anybody from the government who thinks they can they can move in and take over the north as long as supplies and fighters indeed keep coming in through the Turkish border, through the Lebanese border. It's I think there's a general recognition that, that winning this militarily for either side is extremely difficult, if not impossible.
Patrick McDonnell, one of the very few outside reporters in Syria. He's with the LA Times. He spoke to us from Damascus. Patrick, thank you so much. Stay safe.
Ciao. Thank you very much. Nice to talk to you, Robin. Bye-bye.